Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies for.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. How's your life going? Never a dull moment, right? Anyway, yeah, this is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And I just want to remind you that we do have a website, propheticnews.com. We also have a YouTube channel, Prophetic News TV, and we come to you live every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And also, all our programs are archived on Blog Talk Radio. We've been on now for well over 3 years. So we have a vast array of topics and some great guests. We have a great guest today, Jim Green, evangelist and talk show host, Real Talk Radio Now, and he's also with the Urban Truth Network, so we know the truth is always important, amen? So next week, we are going to have a really great guest. David James will be with us, and he is the author of The Harbinger, Fact or Fiction. He also has a website, biblicalintegrity.org, and we're going to be talking about this book, Petrus Romanus. Now, this is a big book right now, and he has written an article pointing out some of the errors and some of his concerns anyway in this book, because they talk about this so-called Catholic prophet, which is an oxymoron in itself, since Catholics aren't saved for the most part. I mean, they might accidentally get saved, but you don't get saved in the Catholic Church usually. But anyway, he'll be with us next week, and then Brenda Johnson will be with us, and we'll be talking about domestic violence. And then Jackie Alnor. Now, there's another great guest we'll have, because she's been in the discernment apologetics ministries for many, many years. She has a website, Apostasy Alert, and you will really enjoy that website. So she'll be with us, and then we'll have Christine White coming on, and we'll be again talking about the Pope. Can't get enough of that subject. So tune in for those programs. Let's remember the murdered district attorney from Texas. His family, his wife and he were murdered in their home by who knows who did it. But truly the days are evil, that when people, policemen, district attorneys, prosecutors, they're just doing their job. And because they're doing their job, they're targets. So I'm praying, and let's agree in prayer that these people get caught. I see dangerous things really coming, especially to these states that are on the border of Mexico, because Mexico is basically lawless. There's been many instances there of police and anybody that tries to crack down on these drug cartels. They're murdered, they're shot, or they're hung, or whatever. And we see these, without the borders being protected in our country, these people are coming in. We don't know what they're bringing here, but I mean, personally, I think it's a drug hit. So let's see what happens, and we pray for the safety of people in law enforcement. Many of them take their life in their hands every day to protect people, so they need our prayers. But I'm going to bring my guest on. My guest, Jim Green. Hi, Jim.
Hello, hello.
How you doing?
Wonderful. How about yourself?
Good. I'm so glad you could be with me today.
I'm glad to be here.
From sunny California.
Sunny California. It's kind of nice right now. We got some cool weather coming in, so it's around 78 degrees right now, so we're doing all right.
All right. That sounds wonderful. Yeah. But we have a very interesting topic, two topics actually today that we're going to talk about, racial reconciliation and abortion. But before we get started, I would like Jim to give us a little biography. Tell us, Jim, about your radio program and the Urban Truth Network.
Well, I just happen to be blessed to God in His sovereignty chose to put me in charge of a little internet ministry called the Urban Truth Network, which basically is a network where under the umbrella of with the umbrella of everything we do in Urban Truth Network is under that umbrella. Now, what Urban Truth Network actually is that it encompasses everything. It encompasses blogging. It encompasses evangelism. It encompasses apologetics, literary projects such as writing books, producing films, anything where we can put the gospel forth with. That's what Urban Truth Network is, and we have a blog called UrbanTruthNetwork.wordpress.com, and if you want to know about us, that's where you go. Everything, all our insight and our mission, everything is contained on that blog. Then I'm the host, or I should say co-host, of the show called The New Real Talk Radio. And basically we are a show much like your show, Susan, and we talk about social issues. We talk about biblical doctrine. We talk about political issues. But everything we do filters through the Word of God. We see the world. We present a biblical worldview of our world. And also, we try to give you unreported and underreported news. Just, you know, such as, yeah, you do the same thing, Susan. I've been watching you for a while, and you do the same thing. So, in a nutshell, that's pretty much who we are.
Yeah, a very, very important work in these end times, and how God has brought people together. Thank God for the internet, because there's so many of us that won't bow the knee to Baal. And yes, we're not going back to Babylon, amen.
That's right. And they would never give us any. We couldn't get on TV with our message. There's no way we can get on TVN, Daystar, any other major networks with the message that we have. So
yes, that's very true. So God makes a way.
Yes.
For His word to go forth and for the truth to go forth. And there's nothing they can do to stop it.
That's right.
Some of these so-called ministries, they file lawsuits against people for putting up internet blogs, exposing them, which You know, what kind of a ministry is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you justify taking someone a lawsuit against someone who doesn't agree with you? Basically,
yeah.
It doesn't make sense, you know.
No, it's hysterical, really, because the funny part about it is they're actually saying the things that people are reporting. They're actually saying the things and doing the things, and then they want to sue you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it just boggles the mind, the mindset of people that do these things, ministries that do these things. I know you know of let's see, what is that brother's name? Kevin.
Yeah.
But Kevin
Kevin Oliver.
Kevin Oliver, who was doing the videos on Creflo Dollar.
Yeah.
And then they got YouTube page shut down.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I was like, really? That's interesting. Why would you try to silence? That's all it really is. It's an effort to try to silence the truth. They don't want people hearing the truth, exposing their ministry. That's what it's about. They really don't want people to hear the truth. And, why would you, like I said, if the person wasn't telling the truth, they would have no, you know, they'd leave them alone.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I don't know if you know it or not, but actually, the link to our show page has been censored, has been shut down by Facebook.
Really?
Yes.
No, I didn't know that.
Yes, the only way you can get to our show is we created a link on our blog. So when it was time for the show to start, we post our blog, and then the link to the show is on the blog, because you can't link directly to our show from Facebook anymore.
Wow.
Because someone forwarded us. Execution.
Oh, that is something.
Something.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'll count it all joy. This type of thing happens when you're telling the truth. To me, it's a validation that what we're doing is right, and it's not going to always bear great results. You know, Jesus said, you know what, if they hate you, remember that they hated me first. So when these kind of attacks come, you know, that's the way I take solace in the fact that Jesus said this was going to happen. So
yeah,
yeah.
Now, it's amazing because Facebook, people cuss on there and, you know, post their half-naked pictures or whatever, and they're going to censor someone that preaches the gospel. That's really something.
I don't understand it. Yeah, because they have it in their policy that you can't I'm kind of loosely paraphrasing it, but basically it says you can't speak bad about somebody's religion. So, so basically what that means is if we disagree with the Catholic Church and someone from the Catholic Church reports that, then we're probably going to get censored.
Oh.
That's what that means.
Wow.
Yeah, it's getting kind of rough out here.
Yeah, well, I don't expect it to get any better. It was interesting. I don't know if you saw the exchange between Stephen Strang, the owner of Charisma Magazine, and TBN.
No,
seen that?
No, I haven't seen that. No.
Well, what happened, and anybody that wants to go to Charisma, they can read the articles. A few weeks ago, Stephen Strang, he said that he was going to go to California. He's in Florida, based in Florida, and he was going to interview Jan and Paul Crouch, Dr. Paul Crouch, and Mrs. Crouch, and he was going to interview them, and it was their 40th anniversary or something. I don't know how many years in ministry. And So he was asking people, the public, to send in questions, which, wow, okay, let's send in some questions.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And so people started posting questions on the, you know, the comment section there of the article, and I was really surprised. I was pleasantly surprised because the majority of the comments were negative against TBN, the dog and pony show that they call Christian television, and the heretics, and so
I heard somebody call it the blasphemy network.
Yeah, well, basically it is. So anyway, then TBN backed out of the interview, and maybe they read some of the comments.
Oh, because they get the questions beforehand, right?
Well, they wanted some questions beforehand, yeah. I guess that they didn't want him asking anything about their personal life. So anyway, they called off the interview, and then Steve Strang published an article about TBN. Eventually they're going to have to be accountable. So then they fired back TBN. I think they had their attorneys or somebody fire back something. But it's a real interesting exchange. And because, of course, Charisma Magazine supports most of those heretics, too.
Yes.
But the fact that now he's getting a little taste of how these people behave, if you happen to bring to it their attention some of the things that they're doing that are ungodly. And it's interesting. So that would be something I think you would enjoy looking at.
Yeah. Where's it at?
Pardon?
Where's the exchange? Where can
if you go to Charisma Magazine online.
Okay.
You'll see there's two articles. One is he put up something about TBN, and then there was another one, a follow-up. There's a couple follow-ups, but you'll see the most recent articles. I don't know if they have a search bar. They might even have something that you could, in case you can't see them. The older articles sometimes you have to look for, but the comments are priceless because, I said, people are really waking up to what's going on. And they're sick of it. You know, they're sick of this whole thing with prostituting the gospel and the things that are going on in the so-called church.
Yes.
So.
Susan, what's really damaging, too, about all these ministries, particularly on television, and also that it's made its way onto radio as well. I know that we used to have a really conservative Christian radio station. Now, it's had a lot of good, tight, biblical teachers, and now I'm noticing that they're starting to allow heretical teaching come on to the air. They let Christian Scientists come on. They let it's just in my area. I don't know how it is over there, but that's what's happening over here on the West Coast.
Oh.
But really bad about that is that when people see that and hear that, this is their perception of Christianity.
Yes.
Out front.
Yeah.
And people could see it, and they get a perception of that is what Christianity is, but that in fact that is not what true Christianity looks like.
No.
And it's turning people off from the gospel. So when you and I come along, we have to work through a bunch of bad doctrine and bad perception before we can even get to a presentation of the gospel, because they've built up this perception of God and of Christianity that's completely false.
Yes.
And so makes it a lot harder. Of course, we're just instruments, you know, that God uses, you know, to do the work, but it makes the work a lot tougher when we have to cut through all that false stuff that's been built up
that's
by the TV.
True.
Radio.
That's true. I think that it is harder to reach people these days because there's so much that's being thrown at them, and with the internet they can see everything. So we have our job cut out for us, but thank God, God does have people that love Him and work for Him, no matter what. So, but I know that we have a very the topics that we're going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. Of course, these are very, very serious topics, and we haven't come anywhere near racial reconciliation in this country.
Right. But the perception is that because we have a black president that it's all over with, the world is won, and he won the Nobel Peace Prize his first, 6 months in office, and so he's the uniter of the world and of the races and all this stuff. But, I mean, that's just all... it's just all a lie. We're not racially reconciled at all.
Susan. No, not at all. I see there's still such a great divide between the races in this country. I know from visiting South Africa and many countries in Europe, there's a different attitude there because, of course, they don't have the history we have. And
right.
The history that we have is such an abomination. I mean, you can't believe that people ever acted like that to each
right.
other. And so it's left so much bitterness between the races. And it's really, I think it's really hard to cut through that. Even once people get saved, there's still that bitterness and anger.
That's absolutely right, Susan. And the problem with that is that we're coming to God, and we're quote unquote getting saved, and we're coming to the altar, and we're raising our hands in worship, and we're praying to God, and we're devoting ourselves to God. But deep down, there's this undealt with sin called racism.
Oh, yes.
Not really dealing with.
It's no.
Just kind of, and particularly, in a lot of times what happens is we retreat to our own racial corners and surround ourselves primarily by people of our own race. To kind of forget about the fact that we're racist, that there's a little racist seed down inside us somewhere that we haven't terminated yet. We haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to deal with that yet. And yet we come to God with our hands raised in worship, and I just simply see a problem in that. We need to start dealing with that deep down, deep rooted sin called racism.
Yes, it's very, very deep. Because if you see, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, there was a white baby that was shot, and it was, I think, one or two black youths that did it.
Mm.
But you didn't see any rioting or,
Yeah.
You didn't see the kind of thing you would see if it had been
a black baby. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I wonder about that. Why? But to me, how I look at it is there's such bitterness yet from the way that, and it was horrible. I mean, the way people treated people of different color, white people. It was horrible, but yet the forgiveness is not there.
No, it's not there. And well, like I said, we just kind of pushed it down and pretending like it's not there. Like, for instance, Eagle Rice was a perfect example. He was these cops who beat Rodney King almost to death and caused this riot. So what were black people doing? Were going in the streets and just assaulting any white person that they found.
I didn't get it.
This person has nothing to do with what happened.
Right.
It's simply because of this whole idea of racism. Now, this, I think, is just a carryover, like you mentioned earlier, from a time when blacks were racially attacked. There were atrocities that were directed toward our race, and we know and we understand that in our history. But you know what? This is what I want to say. What happened to the history? What about the white people that were helping blacks escape to the north?
Yeah, and they also died, you know.
Yes, the civil rights movement. Many white people died in the civil rights movement helping blacks become free. We never hear about that. We don't. Why don't we have a dedicated to the honor of those white people who died for racial equality?
Yeah.
What we see that? I don't understand that. We have Martin Luther King Day, but why don't we have? And maybe I'll take that on as a project. Maybe I'll look it up.
That would be amazing. Yeah.
Yes, and see someone who really stood up for the rights of black people and gave their life for it. And why don't we erect a holiday to that person?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You're right. It's really true, but I think that, you know, probably in families, it's still discussed, the slavery and what happened after the civil rights movement, and there's still that deep-seated hatred of what white people did. And
right.
I can't say I blame them in a way, you know, because I've never experienced that. I can't, you know, say from personal experience that I can understand it. I can understand
right.
that it was horrible. It is horrible.
Yes.
But to, like you said, when Rodney King was beaten by white police officers, why do you go into the street and riot? Why were they about to hang George Zimmerman?
Yeah, right.
And they were ready to lynch him.
Yes, it is, and like I said, it's a issue of the heart, and that is for. And my concern is that we, like I said, we have people in the church who still have a problem with racism, and we need to start moving toward that. And Susan, I don't know if you're aware of it, but I decided to do something about this in my own little corner of the world, and I am initiating what's called Colorblind Sunday Month. I don't know if you saw that event.
I didn't see it. No.
Well,
we have a few callers, and I want to let the callers that know that we will be taking your call, so just hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jim.
On May is Colorblind Sunday Month, and on that month, you will simply go to a church where the majority of the worshipers in that church are of another race, which means if you're white, you go to a Hispanic church. If you're black, you go to a Hispanic or a white church. If you're Hispanic, you go to a black or a white church for one Sunday. Simply introduce yourself to one family, introduce yourself to the pastor. If you like, you know, take pictures and then post them on the event page. Really simple. I've been doing that because it's my desire, and I believe the desire, God's desire, that we reach across racial lines in the church and realize that that's my brother or my sister
that's
in Christ.
Right. That's right.
Not a black man. That's not a white man. That's not a Hispanic man. That's my brother in the spirit. That's my sister in the spirit.
Yeah.
And we too come to the realization that this is in the heart of God for us to all be on the same page. I mean, we all have to come. Now, I believe in the idea of a multiracial church, multicultural church. I believe in that.
Yeah.
But if we don't come together physically as a church, we at least have to come together spiritually and recognize that I'm dealing with this problem of racism I may have had in the past.
Yeah.
Reaching to my brother or my sister. So that's how we're dealing with it with Colorblind Sunday Month.
Wow. I mean, I think that's amazing. I know that one thing that was interesting that happened to me, a friend of mine, of course, she's black, and we've been friends for many, many years. But when Obama was running for president the first time, and she had asked me what I thought about him and if, you know, I was going to vote for him. And I said, no, I wouldn't vote for him because I don't care what color he is. I would never support anybody that was in favor of abortion.
Right.
And she accused me of racism. Now, she told me I didn't like him because he was black. And but this was my friend. We've been friends for like 15 years. I couldn't believe it. You know, it really made me angry. You know, I told her, I said, don't do that to me. That is not the reason.
Yeah, yeah. That's the immediate fallback, though. You know, as far as he's concerned, and I know that's kind of getting a little into politics, but anytime you do with a liberal issues or agenda in general, particularly though if they have to do with race, then you're a racist. If you don't agree with President Obama on any issue, you're a racist.
Yeah, you're a racist.
If you don't like President Obama, you're a racist. It's just a bunch of silliness that doesn't have any. It's just ridiculous to play the race card like this.
No, I know. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, well, what comes first, the Christianity or the race?
Very good, and that's what I begin to tell people, because whenever I voice my opinion of this opposite of President Obama, people automatically assume that I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
And I have to tell them, you know what, I'm not a Republican, because before I'm anything, I'm a Christian.
Amen.
You know, so that and you want to know what my political affiliation is? First, and then whatever comes after that. You can't put me in a political box, because I don't have a political worldview that's like yours. I have a biblical worldview, and that changes everything.
That's right.
So that's where we have to deal with this issue of race in the church, because we got to take it off of the political table and put it in the biblical court.
Yeah.
The condition of racism. That's what we have. When you're in God, when you're in walking in the Spirit, you cannot be a racist.
That's true. That's true.
You cannot go in your little racist corner and say, I love God, particularly like that white man or that black man or that Hispanic man. That's not acceptable to God, plainly and simply.
Yes. So. I mean, it's a hot topic. Let's take a couple calls here and see what the people have to say. Okay, 407. Hello, 407.
Hello?
Yes, do you have a comment or a question?
Yes, Susan, I would just like to say the racism in this country, I think it's being perpetuated by the news media. If you noticed during the 70s that series called Roots,
yeah,
there was a lot of racial tension when Roots came out, and then it was the Johannesburg, and in the 80s it was Johannesburg and Nelson Mandela.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then it was perpetuated further by the LA riots and Rodney King in the 90s, and then came along the O.J. Simpson trial. And now, in the 21st century, we have Trayvon Martin. And the news media just keeps perpetuating racism, dividing the races. And this is all from, you know, the spiritual powers of darkness. This is all from Satan. It's from the principalities and powers and from the rulers of the darkness of this world and the spiritual wickedness in high places. And I just like to admonish the saints out there to just pray and beware of the devil and his schemes and his devices. These schemes are just to divide the races, to keep people hating one another, you know, and keep division among the races. And just like you said earlier, your friend you've been friends with for 15 years, and now all of a sudden because of Barack Obama and the statement that you made, now she's not friends with you. And this is the trick to infiltrate the Church of Jesus Christ, and to divide the races and keep people in hatred of one another.
It was shocking to me. I mean, it really shocked me because, you know, I didn't expect it. But when I asked the Lord about it, and I was trying to understand the, you know, that people were still wounded. They're still very wounded by this whole, they weren't allowed to vote, you can't drink at a fountain. I mean, it was horrible. And this is not too long ago that these things happened in this country. So,
and
go ahead.
And I haven't seen this this movie, 42, with Jackie Robinson, but I don't know. I know it's probably, you know, commemorate his barrier breaking in baseball, but I'm not sure if it's going to revive some wounds of racism. I'm not sure. I just don't trust, you know, the media and the news media. I don't trust Hollywood.
No.
And Jesus said in the last days, they shall betray one another and hate one another. And that, this is one of the tools that the devil is using. He's using the media, and he's using especially the news, liberal news media, to just divide the races. This, you know, it's he uses it to perpetuate homosexuality, to perpetuate feminism and women uprising against the man in the home, and all kind of things, abortion, everything that the Bible is against. The news media is for.
Yeah.
I just don't trust them. I look at them not, I don't look at the news, I look through the news, because I try to discern what they're trying to put down.
Yeah.
And then I try to, I try to listen to people like you who try to discern between good and evil. And I just like to admonish the saints that, you know, the Trayvon Martin thing is coming up. I work in Sanford, Florida.
Oh.
The Trayvon Martin case is coming up. And I'm pretty sure that the news media is going to try to, you know, do something to perpetuate a racial hostility and divisions and even racial, murder.
Oh yeah, well they did a pretty good job getting everybody hyped up with false information, some false information they were putting out.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
But the thing is, it's they do give misinformation, and I noticed that they were inciting people, and I noticed that, you know, some of the people on Facebook, they got incited over it.
Oh, yeah.
And started making it a race issue. I don't get it. I mean, it was upsetting because I could see how easy it is to get people stirred up, and they know how to do it, to push those buttons.
Yeah. The thing I noticed, it wasn't almost until 6 months later till they showed the wounds on George Zimmerman.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and they kept showing a picture of Trayvon, I think, when he was 10 or something.
Yeah. And if they had showed those wounds earlier, it would probably simmer down the hatred.
That was a real interesting. Yes, that was very interesting. But we can see how they control the news, and they want to tell you how to think.
It's all a manipulative tactic of Satan just to divide the races. We have to be in prayer, have to be on our knees, and pray against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. And I won't take up any more of your time.
Well, I thank you so much for calling in. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Great comments. Thank you. But, you know, Jim, that trial is coming up, and only God, you know, no matter what happens, you're still innocent until proven guilty. And we have to wait. I know if I was on trial for something, I would want my day in court. And hopefully, you know, the truth will come out, and we'll know the full truth. Nobody knows the full truth yet of what really happened. So we don't want the hatred and the bitterness. I was really surprised at, especially the way some of the Christians were behaving.
Yes.
And I was very deeply concerned. Even when Obama was being reelected, there was such a great division I saw still in the church between the races, and it was almost like, we don't care what he believes. His skin is black.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And I actually addressed that. I addressed that personally within my sphere of influence. And I said, what kind of sense does that make? And you know, I challenge people, okay, and I'm going to be, to be honest, I'm going to be up front. Susan, the first time Obama got elected, I was a different person. I was a different man spiritually. I was under the influence of my parents, who told me, because you're black, you're Democrat. And my entire life, I did nothing but, I went to the booth, okay, who's Democrat? I didn't even know who was who. It was like, oh, who's a Democrat? Okay, well, I'll vote for him because I'm a Democrat. Because I was told that blacks, the Democrats are for black people, the Democrats are for poor people, so we're poor and we happen to be black, so you're Democrat. So I voted for Obama the first time around.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
Yeah, but you're admitting it. You voted for him because he was black.
I voted for him because he was black. Yeah.
Yeah.
And because, yeah, I did. I'm admitting that. But you know what, Susan, to his term, they passed a piece of legislation to fund abortion abroad.
First things he did.
Yes. And when I saw that, I was like, God, forgive me. I made a mistake.
Yeah.
I should not have voted for this man. But you know what? I was under the influence. I was under the whole brainwashing thing. I was watching the liberal news media because, like I said, I was a different person. I was believing all the stuff they were saying, and I went for it. And like I said, when I saw that piece of abortion legislation go forth, I was like, oh no. And then I start digging more. And then that's when I start finding all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, I will never vote for this man ever again. Or anybody who sounds like him. You know? Because that's not, how can you do that? How can you, and you know he says he's a Christian. How can you say this is my question I have. How can you say you're a Christian and stand for the killing of babies? Support it. Part of your platform, your agenda. Tell me how does that work? Tell me, how does God agree?
Well, no.
I'm saying he's in a position. I'm not saying, you know, saying get up there and preach, you know, pro-choice. I'm not saying that. But don't stand for the killing of babies.
That's right.
And campaign on it. That's my problem.
Yeah, campaign on it. And I'm like, okay, you know, like this friend of mine that accused me of being a racist, she mm-hmm. told me that, she called me when Obama was running the second time, and she said, well, you know, my son called me, and he said, Mama, Obama's like the Antichrist. And she said, my son knew what he was talking about. And but then after the election, she called me and told me she voted for him.
Mm.
Now, I don't get it, you know. That thing was stronger than her Christianity.
Yeah, I know. It was. And like I said, I had some growing to do as a Christian, and I have, like I said back then, and like I said, I'll never vote for anybody who sounds, looks like, or acts like Obama ever again. And if for that matter, not that's not just a Democratic thing. You got
no, I wouldn't vote for the white guy. Yeah. You know, I didn't vote for the white guy because of their. I was fooled 2 years ago by George Bush, the first time he fooled me. And I said, I'm not going to be fooled again. If you don't stand strong for life,
that's right.
I don't want anything to do with you because God does.
Right.
And I don't care what kind of flowery, like, you know, we have two other callers that I'm going to take. But what is this guy doing really for anybody? I mean, you know. Why are we looking to some man to solve our problems when only God Almighty Himself can solve them?
Thank you for saying that, Susan. And I said to myself, too, I say that to my Christian friends. I'm like, are you worshiping? That's the question I ask them. Make sure you're worshiping God. Because Obama is a man, and he's a sinful man who needs Jesus.
He needs Jesus like the rest of us.
The job that he is in is full of corruption, full of lies, and full of sin. That's where he is. Politics is full of that.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to understand and realize that if that person, I don't care if they're black, orange, yellow, pink, it doesn't matter what their color are, if they're not standing for principles, then you shouldn't be supporting them.
That's
period.
Right.
I don't care religious proclamations. It doesn't matter what race they are. It doesn't matter what party they represent. None of that. You have to look at the character of the man or the woman and decide who you're going to support. If that
That's
person
right.
is not a Christian, you do not support them.
That's so, right. I mean, it's kind of an oxymoron anyway to be a Christian president, but let's take this other call here. 336.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, how are you today?
All right, just give me a chance to say what I got to say, because I'm kind of a little disagreeing with the brother. This is what I see. Now, we understand that we can't change the past, but what you got to understand is everything that deal with black people past in America has been oppression. The problem that I have with my white Christian friends is every time I bring something up that happened in the past, they think I'm being mean-spirited. But what in black people history is positive? So if you try to bring something about what happened back in the 1800s, 1900s, they're thinking that, oh, you're just trying to make me feel bad. But what in our history do we have that's positive? Even the civil rights movement, what we had to go through to get that. And so it's like every time you try to talk about it, you stymie. You can't. It's like the child that was sitting in the corner and wants to talk, and the parents said, be quiet, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Do you understand the psychic damage that can be done to people after so many hundreds of years that when they try to speak, then when they finally get freedom, they say, okay, we don't want to hear about, we gave you what you want, now be quiet. That's not right. Even on George Washington Day, we have to celebrate these holidays and things of people that oppressed us, and we're told we got to come out and wave a flag and forget about what Andrew Jackson did on the Trail of Tears. We got to forget about what Thomas Jefferson did with Sally Hemings. It's just part of our past. But when we try to talk about Malcolm X or Nat Turner, oh, there's Harris. Well, look what Andrew Jackson did when they told him you had to leave the Cherokee Indians alone. He told them the Supreme Court, he said, okay, you enforce the law and then send them on the Trail of Tears. So when a black person says something about that, oh, you can't talk about that. But then when you talk about Nat Turner, oh, he's a terrorist. You talk about John Brown, he's a terrorist. But these are only people that we have reaching out to help us. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to be a hypocrite and say, yeah, I'm glad to celebrate these things or these people that oppress me? Or can we express it and then maybe we can come to a conclusion instead of being, be quiet, this is not the Christian thing to do. Well, why didn't the Christian ministers back then tell these people that they wasn't doing Christian things? That's my problem. You see what I'm saying? Now we've just been free for a certain amount of time, and then when we try to express whatever hatches we got, which we don't have a hatches because we was cut out from it, I don't even know what my name would be in Africa, but I'm not making a big deal about it. But if I want to ask about it, can I say something about it? Hello?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we always time it. And then it really hurts when you have somebody of your same color that says things like this that we just need to get over it. It's not right. That's not Christian. Is it Christian to sit there and smile? Let me give a good example. I have a friend of mine. He's in the Independent Baptist Church. And in the South, the Independent Baptist Churches are white. So I asked him, I said, how many pastors in the Independent Baptist Church are black? He couldn't name me two. Just two.
Yeah.
And now what's up? But then, check this out. When they had this thing that came to Winston-Salem about 10 years ago where they were doing a faith-based initiative, one of the white independent Baptist pastors got and said, I don't understand how these black Baptist preachers can join this organization and blah, 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 blah. But this same guy has about five black ministers in his church, and they only get to speak on New Year's Eve. So you see the hypocrisy?
Hey, brother,
and I'm going to say, okay, well, I got to just overlook that. That's wrong.
Oh, yeah, it's wrong. But you see how deep the problem still is.
But the problem was not initiated by us. We did not ask to come over here. Now we're over here. Everything, all our heritage, listen, Susan, I love you. I love you. I love you. But all my heritage came from white people. Anything that I'm doing, they didn't do in Africa. I don't have no hatches to look back to. I can't even go back to my homeland because that's messed up. I can't even go back to Africa because that's all screwed up by colonialism. You see what I'm saying? So we can't say anything about nothing. Then we're being mean-spirited. I don't support Obama, and a lot of things he do is wrong. But if I talk about George Washington or Thomas Jefferson to somebody that's white, they're going to get mad. And they're going to say, why aren't you out there on 1776?
Well, that's a good point, because I never even thought about that what you said about people, you know, you having to support, you know, Washington's birthday when he was a slave owner. Yeah, I never thought about that. I think that's a great point, you know.
Now it's coming out on the History Channel and all these things about what was happening, and yet it's still glossed over. But you bring up Nat Turner. You bring up John Brown. Oh, they're the worst terrorists in America, domestic terrorists in American history. No. You go look at Armistead, and you look at all the things that how many millions of people were dumped in the ocean, and you don't think there's no psychic damage from that?
There's psychological damage. I mean, there definitely is. You know, you can feel it. You can see it. Yeah, there's a lot of psychological damage.
Is when we try to talk about it. Nobody wants us to talk about it because they kind of think that we're trying to make them feel guilty. But that's the only thing we have known was pain and anguish. So now we can't even talk about that. That's not right.
Well, I understand what you're saying. Go ahead, Jim.
Say something. I want to say something to the brother. This is where I'm coming from. First of all, are you a Christian?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. This is where I am. The biggest problem that we have with racism, with the racial issue, is that race has to do with sin in a person's heart. Racism has to do with sin in a person's heart.
Let's go to the book of Acts and Peter them. Peter them did not even want to go to the Gentiles. Now, was they not saved? They were saved. I didn't say people wasn't saved.
You don't want to hear the truth. I'm not gonna talk with you, brother, because you don't want to hear. You had a whole 5 minutes where you spewed.
Go ahead. I'm listening.
Okay, the problem is sin exists in every race, including white people from our past. Okay, we're in today. Okay, and I'm not denying what happened to us was atrocious. It shouldn't have happened. And I'm not exonerating the people that did it. They have to deal with God.
That's okay? It.
Right now, as we live right now, I have to reconcile in my heart with the people I live around as a Christian that stand on biblical values and say, God, what is it in me that wants to be racist against another white man? Take that away from me, because that's not what you want. I'm not worried about the bigger issue. I'm not talking about the me issue. We got to deal with ourselves on this issue, and that's why we're talking about this today. We got to start with ourselves, okay? I can't be responsible for the whole black race or the whole white race or the whole Hispanic race. I'm responsible for me. So if I can resolve it in me that I got to deal with the racism in me, that's what I have to do.
Okay.
That's all I have to say.
Okay, well, this is the problem.
And you make a good point. I'm not just telling what you said. You're making good points. You are. But I'm just saying,
okay,
we got to deal with ourselves. What's the problem with me? You understand what I'm saying? That's where we are.
Okay, well, all I'm saying, okay, even Paul, when he went out preaching, he went first to the Jews. He tried to reach his own people. What is wrong when we say, hey, this happened to us amongst ourselves, but we're not saying it to be negative. We're just saying it because that's what it is. When we have my wife's grandmother's 100th birthday, she was born right out of slavery. So can we talk about
Paul was preaching the gospel. Paul was preaching the gospel, though. Yes, but he didn't have a political agenda. Paul was talking about the gospel, because that's the only thing that can save us. That's all that we have now. All these other, this humanistic issue that we're talking about, really
it's not human. That's history. That's our history. I'm not talking about no philosophy. I'm talking about stuff that actually happened.
But what I'm saying is heart is sin. I'm going back to my original point.
It's just history. I'm not trying to make nobody feel guilty about it. I'm just saying it's our history. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I'm in agreement with you, but do you agree with me that what happened to black folks in our history, do you believe that was sinful, what happened to us?
Okay, yes, it was sinful, but I'm saying we can learn from it if we're allowed to talk about it. That's all I'm trying to say. If you just gross over it and say forget about it,
Susan, it's your show. I don't have a problem with him coming on my show and talking about it. He can come on your show and talk about it, too, I'm sure.
It's interesting because I like to know where he's coming from because there's something that needs to be healed.
This is what I'm saying. You said that a couple of months ago when you had a guy that was an Indian and he was allowed to talk about what happened to his tribe. That's all we are saying.
That's right. That's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Because we didn't know, people didn't know the Indian history. And I think you're absolutely right. But you have to go back to how did the people get out of Africa? Who was actually behind getting them out of there?
Yeah.
That's a whole story in itself. All I wanted to say to the brother is...
Yeah, so the thing is, you have to tell the whole history. You can't just say, okay, they were brought here and white people used them as slaves. There's still slavery today.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
You do know that they commandeered the help of other blacks to bring us here to America, too. You do know that, right?
Well, I'll say this, that's a whole show that I could get in, but I don't want to say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but that's the
time.
Truth. How did all these people get out of, you know, you just don't go walk into a country and start rustling up people.
Well,
how did they get out of there?
From what I understand, it was the Arab people that came to the interior of Africa, and they created the language of Swahili, and they're the ones that brought the blacks to the east and west coast of Africa and sent them off to all the other places. That's what my understanding of history is. And even if that's the case, when colonialism came about, it came about because Livingston was able to find a way to interior Africa, and then they went from that and enslaved those people in the Western colony. But I don't want to take up more time. I just want to say we should be able to discuss it. That's all I'm saying.
Now you want to go. See, this is what the problem
is.
I'm not going nowhere.
Okay. You're not understanding what I'm trying to say.
The point is this. Everybody was at fault there.
Everybody was at fault.
And so what happened when they brought the people here was atrocious. It was horrible. It's hard to believe that it was just a few years ago. That people are still being so horribly discriminated against. It's sickening. It's sin. It's not of God. But it's time to heal the wounds, you know. It's time to heal the wounds. We've got to heal those wounds. We've got to go, like Jim said, you've got to look inside. I had to do the same thing with all the things that were my heart being white. And deal with the things that were in my own heart. Because sometimes you don't realize that there is still some racism in you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take a good hard look at your own heart, you know, and say, okay, Lord, what's in me? Is there something in me that I still want to discriminate against people that are a different color than me, whether you're black or white? Because I saw that when Obama got reelected, I saw a lot of, you know, the black brothers and sisters saying, all right, you know, we won again. And I'm like, well, who cares, you know?
Okay,
who cares?
Well, like all I can say on that, because I don't believe in Obama's administration, not for the racial reason or whatever. I just don't agree with a lot of his policy. But I will say this. When you have a group of people, for right or wrong, that reach out to you, and then the other group doesn't, you're going to reach out for them. Bill Clinton was in office. I did not like him. But a lot of black people liked him because he played lip service to them. And when you ain't had nobody else reaching out to you, because everybody in the black community is not saved, they're going to reach back out, and they're going to assimilate him and say, yeah, he is the first black president, because nobody else is reaching out to him.
Yeah, but
so
the
then,
thing is, Obama has a white mother.
Yeah, I understand.
He was raised basically by white people. His grandparents are white.
Yeah, I don't believe in the things he do, but then
so,
you got to look
you know,
at this.
He, which part, you know, he's,
so,
he's
so
white and he's black.
Yeah, how are we calling him the first black president when he's got
Bill Clinton? Bill Clinton.
I mean,
Bill
his
Clinton.
Mother is she? His mother was very, very white.
No, Bill Clinton was the first black president. That's what was said back in the 90s. No, that's true. That is true. He was called the first black president because, you remember, he did a lot of things. I ain't saying he was white. I'm just telling you what black people were saying.
I give you that.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, even Mitt Romney, even though he made a little appearance at the NAACP, I mean, that to me And I wasn't going to vote for him neither, but that was at least the start. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but what do you think can really help people to have the forgiveness and to heal the wounds that are so deep? Because the wounds are deep.
What you're doing right now, allow me to talk. I mean, just to let me air out what is inside of me instead of saying, oh, you're not a Christian because you don't have the right feelings, and you got to allow me to just like a child wants to express itself, and you keep hemming him up and not letting him express himself. Even if he's wrong, you can say, well, Johnny, this is why I did. But to tell me, just to be on food stamps and all this, okay, well, give me an alternative. Send me somebody in my community to show me how to get my economic stimulus and make it work in my community. I mean, Rush Limbaugh and all these people that got all these millions of dollars, let them come down to the black neighborhood and spread some of
the... Yeah, well, what about Jay-Z and Beyonce and the rest of them? Like, why don't they go down to the black... Like, why aren't they going over? Why aren't they going over and trying to stop slavery?
Because, no, but I'm saying they are for themselves. And that's
Jesus is the answer. Forget about looking to human beings to go and try to do something.
Susan, I'm just saying broadly, for the black community, because everybody in the black community is not saved. I'm talking about just to reach out that way.
Let me say something real quick to you, brother. This is the problem that we have, is that we are putting trust in a human, sinful, flawed system. We are trusting in politicians to come and save us. We're trusting in the system, a worldly system, to save us. Those things can't save us. Our salvation can only be in Jesus Christ and the hope that we have in the next life. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't have a certain amount of relief in this life. I'm not saying that. But we have to stop putting our trust on things that will not help us, that are rooted in this life, in this sinful system. Politics is a sinful system that cannot save anyone. No, there's no one politician alive that can correct all the ills of the world. I don't care how good he might seem to be. There is only salvation in one, and his name is Jesus Christ. And we need our trust in him.
I just got one thing to say about that. Jesus himself said, occupy till I come, and that word means make business transactions. We have our salvation, but we still have to vote, we still have to do all those things.
Wait, I can't let you get away with that, brother. I'm sorry. That's not what that means. He didn't mean start a business till I come.
No, I said we have to make our daily transactions. We have to go to jobs with people that are not saved. Did you go to a job where everybody on your job is saved?
Nope.
I'm asking a question. That's what I'm saying. So you have to deal with evil politicians. You have to deal with them. You can't, I don't believe in paying taxes to go to abortion, but if I don't, I'm going to jail.
Wait. Say that again.
I said, I don't believe in paying taxes as going to abortion clinics and all that kind of nonsense, but if I don't pay my taxes, I'm going to go to jail.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that, but that's a different totally point than what I'm trying to make. You're putting your trust in the political system.
No, I'm not. I'm using it to the best that I can.
Why? Why? For what?
Because I have to. That's what Romans 13 said. He said that the powers that be are put in for us to obey them. As long as they don't contradict what God said, we have to go along with them.
Okay, does that agree with God?
Don't pay your taxes and see how fast you go to jail when you say, I don't want to pay my taxes because it goes to abortion clinics.
I'm not talking about the taxes. Abortion
is
jail.
But that is part of the government. That's part of the government, isn't it?
Okay, but listen. Does it die with abortion? It's a simple question, bro.
Does
God agree with abortion?
God doesn't condone abortion.
Okay. Does God condone homosexual activity?
No, he doesn't.
Okay. So we don't have to come down on those, come down on the side of those things, or agree with politicians that do so. Am I correct?
But like I said, no. If you pay your taxes, your part of your taxes is going to that. So are you going to stop paying your taxes? That's
I'm
part of the government, isn't it?
I'm not talking about taxes. I'm talking about your conviction in your heart to agree or disagree with a politician. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't have to agree with him.
Okay.
I will not agree with them on that. But are you telling me I can't have no dealing with no government agency at all because they're all evil?
I'm not saying
I can't call my mayor up and say, look, I got a problem with my street because my mayor believes in abortion. I can't call him and ask him to help me rid my streets of crime. I can't do that. I'm asking you. You have to deal with these people. I'm not saying you agree with them, but you do have to deal with them.
Okay, deal
this
with them.
Paul had to deal with evil leaders.
What? What do you mean? Deal with them? Go have lunch with them? Go play golf with them? What? What do you mean by deal?
Sat down with Festus, who was married to his own sister. But all he did was present the gospel to him. So
yes.
You can't get away from these people in the sense that you are never going to be able to converse with them about problems in your community. You don't have to agree with them, but you do have to converse with them to alleviate some of the problems that you have here on this earth.
Okay. Do you think you can go to Ahmadinejad and tell him to fix some problems, even though y'all don't agree?
I'm talking about here in America.
That's the point. I'm just trying to make a point. Some people that are against you, like for instance, you can't go to Obama and tell him to stop his stance, his pro-abortion stance. He's not going to
agree. You can. He ain't going to agree with you, but you can tell him, I don't agree with you doing abortion.
Why? That's good. Tell him that and understand he's not going to hear you and move on to something else. Don't spend your time at Obama's doorstep trying to beg him to do something that he's never going to do. That's my point.
All right, we got another caller that's been hanging for 40 minutes. So I want to thank you for calling in, and we're going to do this topic again because. It was interesting. Thanks a lot for calling in, brother, okay?
Yeah, I want to talk to you offline. Maybe I can get your phone number. We can come. I think we're agreeing, but not agreeing on everything.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm learning.
Yeah. I love you, Susan.
I love you too.
I love you.
God bless.
That's just green. Bye.
All right, then. So, all right, I'm going to bring 919 on here. 919.
Hello, Susan. Greetings from the great city of Durham, North Carolina. How are you doing?
All right. Tobacco land out there, right?
Yeah. Hey, now, you know, you need to be ashamed of yourself because you know this is my subject right here.
I know. That is your subject.
You know,
this is Brother Vincent from Black by Color Only.
And I have to say to the brother, your guest, what's his name, James Green?
Jim Green, yeah.
Jim Green, brother, oh, my goodness, you are hitting everything on the head. You are hitting every nail on the head. And I thank God for you because you're saying the very same things that I've been saying for 4 years, you know, on Blog Talk Radio. And one thing, you know, I have to share your disappointment with people who call themselves Christian, but they vote for a person who goes against Christian principles, you know. And I remember, you know, when Barack Obama got elected, and I'm pretty sure you know about Shirley Caesar, the great gospel singer from here in Durham, North Carolina. You know, she said, she made a statement. She said, God has now redeemed the black man. And
so what does that mean?
And I said, wait a minute. I said, whoa, wait a minute. God redeemed the black man because we got a person of color in the White House? Are you serious? I said, the black man was redeemed at the cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of these gospel singers, you know, a lot of them, B.B. and C.C. Winans, Donnie McClurkin, goodness, my goodness, her name's at the tip of my tongue, tall lady, used to be a model, real popular, Yolanda Adams.
Oh, yeah.
Yolanda Adams, you know, she did a concert for Barack Obama, and this thing, it has really disgusted me, because I'm like, okay, you see these people, they're in church, they're like, oh, hallelujah, 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 but they can't get rid of their blackness. It's like,
yeah,
you know, my blackness, and it's just like you said earlier, what comes first, your race or your Christianity?
Yeah.
You know, and so many of these people, you know, they know the Bible, they know what the Bible says, but when it comes to issues of race, no, I'm going to stand, you know, I'm a black person first. You
That's
know?
What, I
like,
didn't get it. I couldn't get that. I
yeah,
still don't
I,
get
I don't
it.
I never understood that. And I was like, wait a minute, aren't we Christians? You know, why do we have to be so caught up in how black we are?
I think I have an answer. I wrote an article on my blog called Social Justice, Black Liberation Theology, and Word of Faith. And it talks about how black people have been victimized by a theology that is rooted in social justice. The oppressed nature of our history, we gravitate to that. And so we are looking for a liberator outside. Even though we say we're Christians, we're looking for a human liberator that's here among us.
Yeah.
And that is why we flock to people like Barack Obama, because he embodies that person that we want to look to on earth that is our liberator. And the fact that he, even though he says he's a Christian, you and I, all of us here know that he does not identify with Christian values.
No,
he doesn't.
But he says he's a Christian, he then becomes the embodiment of a liberator for the black community. So that's why you got these people that actually are, in fact, worshiping him.
Yeah, they do. They worship him.
Because
yes.
What they feel he can do for them. Simply because he's black.
Yeah. And
but
the thing and
position
and,
of power. Yeah, he's in a position of power that can liberate them. That's the only thing I was gonna say. Go
ahead. And the thing too is we look towards people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, and these
yes.
people are about as corrupt, you know. Jesse Jackson's a millionaire today because he's proud for the race issue. You know, he can come in and he can tell, like I was reading a book by Jesse Lee Peterson, and Toyota gives Jesse Jackson, I think, $600,000 to $700,000 a year to basically keep him off of their backs, because, you know, any little thing that happens, Jesse Jackson comes in, he cries racism, he talks about suing folks and everything, and then, you know, they have to pay him a certain amount of money. And one of the leaders of Toyota actually
wow.
said that the $600,000 to $700,000 that they pay to Jesse Jackson every year is actually the cost of doing business. I say, you've got to be kidding me. This man is a race hustler. He's a race hustler, and he has the nerve to call himself a reverend, has the nerve to call himself a Christian, but he is anything but. And those of us who are well-versed in the Bible, we can see past this mess. We can see past this garbage, you know, and,
right.
and we need to get colorblind. We need to stop
yeah.
putting black before our eyes and saying, you know, they don't like the black man and everything. And another point I wanted to make, the other brother that, you know, kept talking and, you know, y'all couldn't get a word in edgewise, he was saying that, you know, we can't talk about this. You know, every time we talk about excuse me, but those of us who are trying to say that who are trying to really bring out the real history. Because, see, the history that we've been taught in school is not the history that really
went on.
Those of us who are trying to teach the real history, those are the ones they're trying to silence. You know, he's saying that, you know, whenever I talk about Nat Turner or John Brown. Now, reason why I don't support their histories is because, you know, their hearts might have been in the right place, but they carried it out the wrong way. They killed innocent people. You know, they skip over that part. They skip over that. And that's why I say, they were likened to terrorists because they wantonly killed, you know, innocent white people. They killed men, women, and children, innocent people that had nothing to do with him being enslaved. And, you know, we need to get past this mess. We need to understand our history. We need to read the right history. We need to understand, you know, because we follow the black race follows the Democrat Party like a Pied Piper, and we still try to skip over the fact that it was the Democrat Party that started the Ku Klux Klan. It was the Democrat Party that enacted the Jim Crow laws, the separate but equal. It was the Democrat Party that went against the civil rights laws in the 50s and the 60s. They voted against them. But when you tell them that, they just kind of dance around it, and they say, no, you know, this person is racist. And the person that they're calling racist, they ain't even done anything racist. They ain't even said anything racist. But, you know, if you don't agree with their point of view, you are a racist.
That's it. If you don't agree with their point of view, then you're a racist. But you know, Brother Vincent, I wanted to ask you because we had, you know, you had touched on this briefly one time on your program, how the people, and I had asked you about this, how the people actually got out of Africa, and you said it was the Muslims that were behind it. Now, could you just share a little bit about that? And I have a question, too. How does that relate? And for Jim, too, if you know, how does that relate to Malcolm X and the Black Muslim movement?
Okay, now, I'm not as detailed on the Muslim, you know, you had certain tribes in Africa who were Muslim belief, and they were the ones who really sold a lot of the Africans into slavery because it was profitable to them. Matter of fact, when Great Britain, I forget what year it was, I know it was in the 1800s, when they wanted to abolish slavery in Great Britain, these groups in Africa said, please don't do that because it is so profitable to us. But that's history that we don't get told. And when we try to bring that up, we're the ones who are told to shut up, you know. But it was profitable to a lot of the Black Muslims. And when I say Black Muslims, I'm not talking about like the group Black Muslims here in the United States.
Okay.
But they just happened to be, you know, they were Muslim, but they were also Black. It was profitable to them because they could sell these people into slavery and get a profit off of it. And when it comes to now the one astonishing thing I like to say about Malcolm X, you know, and I try to, you know, use this question to my Black brothers every time they bring up the subject of Malcolm X. All I had to do was ask them one question. I say, who were the people, what color of the skin were the people that assassinated Malcolm X?
Yeah.
And so you can't get past that.
Yeah, that's another place where you get them, they want to change the subject. Like the brother that just called, when you want to talk about, you know, stuff that damages their argument, they want to switch subjects.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
They damn.
That's one of the ones, that make them want to change subjects right there.
Yeah. And when you tell them, you say that, okay, Malcolm X was killed by Black people, that racial guy, Khalid Muhammad, he was shot by a Black person, and they don't tell you that when Khalid Muhammad was shot by the Black person, when he went to the hospital, what was the color of the skin of the person that brought him back to health? Oh, it was a Jewish white doctor. How come you don't explain that, you know?
Well, the thing is, it seems like there's enough hatred on both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
You know, that still really needs to be dealt with.
And it's like you said, Brother Vincent, we have to be colorblind. I wanted to ask, how do you feel about that term, African American?
I don't like that term because now my wife, she's from Liberia.
She's really an African American.
Yeah, she's really an African, you know, and she has the accent to prove it. But I don't like the term because I remember one time when I was a missionary here in Durham, North Carolina, we were witnessing in front of a library, and this guy, I guess he was homeless or whatever, and he told me, he said, you know what? You need to go back to Africa and find out where you're really from and what your name really is. And I said, look, let me tell you something. My name is Vincent Edward Brown. I was born October the 16th, 1968, in a place called Roanoke, Virginia, okay, to a man named Donald Lee Brown and a woman named Barbara Faye Brown, okay? Now, I don't know what you mean about going back to Africa and finding out what my real name is, but I have never been to Africa. I don't have a desire to go there. I just don't, you know. But, you know, if you want to go there, hey, feel free. I ain't got no problem with you going. But my name is Vincent Edward Brown, and I love my name, and I'm not going to change my name and say, well, I'm going to change my name to Vincent X or something like that. No, my name is Vincent Edward Brown.
Oh, man.
That's good.
There's so much healing that needs to be done. I mean, there really is, but I extended the program so we're still alive and we still have time left. But it's a good thing for the listeners and for all of us to do is really to examine our hearts, you know, and to look deep inside and to see if we're still holding on to racism in any form. Because God will show us, and then when He shows us, then we can do something about it. Because it is really, when I saw the election and the re-election of Barack Obama, and I saw so many of the famous so-called Christian celebrities rallying around, I was very disappointed because I thought here was an opportunity for people to say, I don't care what color his skin is, he's wrong.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
And he doesn't stand for what we believe.
But there was, this is what talk about the censorship of the media. There was actually a lot of black church organizations and other black organizations that were standing up against Obama, but you would never know that if you listened to the mainstream media.
You had
to dig and search for that information. Why? Because they want to keep that information from the public. Because they want perception, and they want to keep Obama in power. That's going to damage his credibility in the black community. They don't want to do that because that's a very important voting block. So, from a political standpoint, we got to keep Barack Obama's image positive, or we're going to lose the election. So, around election time, they go out of their way to keep that type of information out of the limelight because they're trying to protect the status quo. It is all comes down to keeping political power. That's what it comes down to right there.
That's all it is. And black people need to understand that, you know, we think that these people who are catering to us really care about us, but all they're doing is using us to gain their own positions in the political world. And if we can open our eyes to that, then we can see through the Barack Obamas, we can see through the Bill Clintons, we can see through the Ted Kennedys and all that crazy mess, you know, because that's all, we're the ones being used by them. They say, oh, we care about you. Oh, here, have some food stamps. And, you know, and you sit there, you're like, oh, hey, this rascal really cares about me.
Yeah, I really care about you, yeah.
Cell phone program. Did you hear about that? Talking about the free cell phone, talking about I got an Obama phone. Did y'all hear about that?
You know what? Yeah. You know what? And she changed her mind because I saw a video on YouTube where she realized that what she was saying was wrong, and she was like, oh, my goodness, Barack Obama used me.
Really?
Yeah, I forget where it is. I saw it on YouTube, and she was in her right mind. She wasn't doing a, I got the Obama phone. She was in her right mind, had her husband sitting there with her, and she was sitting there, and she was like, man, Barack Obama just used us. He just used us.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
said,
like, who
I
wants to be dependent on the government anyway?
Yeah, I mean, really. Yeah.
But you know, you got a segment of the, of society that is okay. They are okay with that.
Yeah,
they're okay with being on a public assistance and not having a job and not having, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot of people that want the government to take care of them. They're okay with that. They don't have.
They
no
are.
Issues.
Yeah, it's very very true.
And so anybody that comes along and says, "Hey, I got free goodies from the government," they're gonna jump on their bandwagon. You know what I'm saying? So. I wanted to ask,
and this is a question that's been on my mind. Why do you think that they actually put Barack Obama up there to elect him as president?
That's a good question. That's a great question. Why him? Why not Jesse Jackson? Why not Al Sharpton? You know, that's a good question. And you know what? I couldn't give you an answer.
No, just my guess is that Barack Obama was in a position philosophically to represent everything that liberals represented, and because liberals, unlike any other politician, wanted to put their agenda forth, promote their agenda, they saw Barack Obama as the opportunity to do that. So they cleared the streets, they cleared the roads, they moved the mountains, they parted the seas, they did whatever they had to do to get this man in power.
Yeah, they did. Because he really seemingly came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
But he really didn't come out of nowhere. He was handpicked.
Yeah, he was handpicked. But I wondered why they at that time, but that makes a lot of sense, is that because it's become, and even the church has become so liberal,
yes,
the government
yes.
has become so liberal in this kind of attitude where anything goes, and so you're almost a laughingstock when you're a conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if you're black like me and your guests, you know, we're called jigaboos and sellouts Uncle Toms and things,
yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah. I get called all kind of stuff, brother. Don't feel bad. But you know what, though? I was afraid at one time of that. But then I just said, you know, this is my assignment. You know, you got on
right.
the football team, you got blockers that up front. They don't get no glory. You don't hear when the running back is in the end zone spiking the football. You don't hear his name on the speaker. You don't hear the name of the blockers that block for him to get that touchdown. You hear
that's true.
So
right.
we the ones in the trenches doing the hard work that don't get no mention that make it possible for the gospel to go forth, brother. And that's the way I look at it. We get dirty. We get hurt, we get attacked viciously, and it's all for who? For God's glory. That's the way I see it.
Exactly. Yes.
That's it. It's still a very, very touchy subject, and there's a lot to understand. There's still a lot to understand. And, you know, the thing is, most of the people, too, that put Obama in power are racist. They don't, you know, they could care less about healing the divide between the races.
Yeah.
They may claim that they like people of different skin color, but they really don't deep down in their heart.
Don't.
I mean, people that aren't saved don't have any love anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So without the love of God, we have enough problems with people that purport to have the love of God, and yet they behave badly when it comes to racism. But it's interesting to get people's point of view, and obviously I could see how God is using both of you, you know, to help heal that divide. Brother Vincent, just the name of your program, Black by Color Only. I mean, you know, that is such a blessing.
That's
and
by the way, if you don't mind me asking, when are you on your show on?
What's that?
When is your show on?
I'll be on tonight at 7 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio, Black by Color Only.
Awesome.
And Mr. Green, you are invited anytime. And you want to put your input on the show? Hey, you are invited at any time.
I will be there to check you out, my brother.
Sure. Oh, I appreciate that. I really do, you know, because sometimes I feel like I don't have the details, you know, because basically a lot of what I know now I've learned within the past maybe 8 or 9 years. And sometimes I like to have people on the show who, you know, who have the details and they can give out that information and everything. But I
I'll tell you, Brother Jim's broadcast is a tremendous blessing. And Urban Truth Network, that's a fabulous website. I mean, there's so much information there. And, you know, thank God that he's raised up good, strong brothers that aren't afraid to speak the truth. And we speak the truth in love.
Yes.
We all have to examine ourselves, but we still have about 20 minutes left, and I kind of wanted to hit on that. We have one caller. Let me bring the caller on, and then I wanted to just talk a little bit more about the abortion issue. So, Brother Vincent, you're welcome to hold on if you like.
Okay.
You know,
and
join in on the conversation. Let me get this caller. Hello, caller.
Oh, no, I'm just listening.
Okay.
All
right, brother.
Y'all want me back on no more.
Well, you're welcome anytime. God bless. All right, then. Let's talk a little bit about the abortion issue and its relationship, especially to the Black community.
Mm.
Go ahead, Brother Green.
Oh, you're going to have another 2-3 hours. For that, because that's you asked me one of my burning issues. That's one of my burning issues, and has been for quite some time. Particularly, the overall problem of abortion is huge right now, especially internationally. But for me, it starts at home. It starts in the community, especially concerning. When we look back to the history and the history of what I call the milestone in abortion history was the erection of Planned Parenthood by Margaret Sanger. And she established Planned Parenthood with a specific agenda to kill Black babies.
Yeah.
And so that's where it strikes. That's where it starts with me right there. So when I hear Black people stating, supporting it, particularly our president, other Black people in the community, including Christian, stating that it's a woman's right to choose, it really bothers me. It pushes me to the brink of I'm ready to have to contain myself because. The issue of life to me is not a political issue. Murder is a capital sin, particularly the murder of defenseless babies in the womb. I take particular offense to that. When people want to stand up and support that, it's very serious to me, at my heart. So. You know, we can start the conversation here, but we're probably going to talk about it again later.
Yeah, this week, I think there was a judge. I can't remember the whole story, but I think it was a judge that said that he's going to require the Obama administration to provide the morning after pill. To anyone that wants it, even anyone under the age of 17, without written permission from their parents.
See, I don't understand. I don't. See, this is where I know that this is where I when I hear stuff like that, and that's the kind of thing that bothers me. That why would you do? What's in your heart? What is in your heart that you want that as a politician, as a judge? What is in your heart that you would promote that even to young girls? That you would promote giving them the morning after pill, knowing that it's going to kill a life. That's when my brain starts to scramble, and when I think about things like that, Susan,
the thing is they want to promote this morning after pill, and a parent doesn't even have a right to know what's going on with their child.
Right, exactly.
And instead of promoting abstinence, which of course then the media likes to say it doesn't work. Well, what else works?
Right. Yeah, this is the only thing that's 100% foolproof. And see, this is why they don't like abstinence, because abstinence along with marriage is too close to the biblical message. So as our society becomes more and more immoral, and they move farther and farther away from biblical principles. So anything that looks like biblical principles, we want to move away from that, because in their eyes, God is a tyrannical God who is hateful and vengeful and doesn't want you to do anything, doesn't want you to have any fun, don't want you to experience life. So let's move away from that and gravitate to a loving God that wants freedom and wants you to enjoy life, including having sex with anybody you want to without consequences.
Yeah.
So let's give condoms and morning after pill and abortions all for free to let people be free of this tyrannical religious system. This is the way they think. You know, so that's what it comes down to for them. It's really a moral issue. It's really a moral issue. They really associate the abstinence message with the traditional marriage. Whenever you hear the term traditional marriage, that's a dog whistle term for liberals. Abstinence, mm-hmm. That's a dog whistle term for liberals. It all points to God. And so since we're trying to free ourselves from God, let's do this. Let's let people be free to do what they want to do. That's more. Doesn't that look more like God? That's the question that they ask. So that's what that's about.
It is very shocking to think that we've come to this, where there'll be a total abandonment of morality in any form. And as the day approaches, the day of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the days just become more and more evil. And it's like I said before, even when you're a conservative Christian and you stand on biblical principles, there is even a segment of Christianity that kind of looks at you funny. Like, you're being too dogmatic, or how dare you?
Yes, I have people, I have friends in my family right now that anytime I post something that's corrective or that's pointing out that this is not biblical, or that's pointing out that this teacher is a false teacher or anything like that, this is how they come at me. You're not, you know, that's not a loving approach. That's not... you're not being, you know, you have to, people are going to make mistakes. You have to be you have to be a more loving person. Christ would be more supportive of a loving action. Let me tell you something. What's more loving than telling me the truth? If I'm getting ready to die or hurt myself, if I'm getting ready to step out into the highway and get killed by a semi, what are you going to say is, oh, Jim, I was wanting to know if you could I want to tell you about something that's getting ready. And by that time, I already got ran over by the semi. Or are you going to say, hey, don't go over there, man. Don't step out there, or you're going to push me out of the way. Which one are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I feel.
Yeah.
And I feel what I do is screaming that there's a problem, that there's a trap you may step in, or I actually push them out of the way of the trap. And that's conceived as not loving. So I know exactly what you mean, not to mention the fact that Jesus dealt very harshly with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees. So that could be considered not loving if you read your Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was not playing, okay? He was not playing when he grabbed a whip and went into the temple and cleared it out. Because why? Because there was injustice being done in the house of God, and he cleaned house.
Yes.
Now, I'm not advocating we all get whips and go into the church and start beating people. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, I just want to correct that. But I do advocate that we stand up and say what is true. We are honest. We are direct. And we are powerful. I do advocate that. And what can be more loving than telling someone the truth, Susan? That's where I am.
Oh, I agree with you 100% because it's, I think we all have situations in our family and unsaved loved ones. And, you know, there's a constant battle between good and evil. But you have to tell them the truth. You have to tell them when they're fornicating that they're fornicating. And when they're living in adultery, they're living in adultery. Eventually, that seed of truth that we plant into someone's heart is going to take root. It's just like any of us that we know how we were before we were born again and the horrible life we led. And why did it take so long, Jesus, for our eyes to be opened, for us to see the truth? So, yeah, the truth is always good. It might not make you the most popular person, but I just had a situation in my family where a family member was injured and was looking at their own mortality and had to make the decision, realizing that God is in control of this thing. And so you can either serve him or you can rebel and do your own thing. And there's consequences that have to be paid. We don't want to see people suffer. We don't want you to go to hell. We don't want you to have children that don't have fathers or mothers. We don't want you to die of drug abuse. We don't want you to die of alcoholism. We don't want you to commit adultery.
Right.
These things are going to hurt you,
yeah.
And we don't want to see people get hurt.
Right.
So anybody that's listening today, you're not born again, you're facing your own mortality. There is a God in heaven. He is real, and this is his world. He made it, and he made you, and he loves you, and he sent his son to die for you. Jesus Christ himself came on this earth. He walked on the earth. He went to the cross and died a brutal death so you could have life, and you could have eternal life today. You can have it.
Amen.
You know, another thing I found it interesting, you know, they made this series, The Bible, and I just happened to catch, a little bit of an episode or two, and I was like, well, if you're going to do a series on the Bible, could you at least read it?
You know what? That is exactly what I said. I said the very same thing. I said they running around looking, they going to TV Jakes and
they had I don't know how many people they hired as consultants. I'm like, open the book. What is wrong with you?
You need a script. Open the Bible. There's your script right there.
They had Jesus walking down the carrying his cross and the lady that took care of him, basically, because she wasn't his mother. God doesn't have a mother.
But she raised him. But, you know, Mary had enough sense to know that she had nothing to do with it, except she was an instrument. So, of course, they have him. And that's the Catholic version where he's walking down with his cross and his mother comes up to him. And so what does Jesus say to her? He looks into her eyes and says, "With God, all things are possible."
Oh,
yeah, I'm like, where did that come from? What are these people doing? And like at the beginning in the New Testament, it was when Abraham sent his son Ishmael away. When he sent Ishmael and his mother away. Because Sarah said, look, basically she said, you know what, our son is a son of promise. That's not the son of promise. You're going to have to, they got to go. So before he leaves, Abraham looks at his son Ishmael and tells him, you have to believe in a God.
Wow.
Are you serious?
Wow.
And I said, you have to believe in a God? Do you really think that would have came out of Abraham's mouth?
Yeah.
And that's not even nowhere near scripture. That someone made that up.
Yeah, they made it up, and they said they had Joel Osteen and Rick Warren, and they had all these people consulting. I'm like, what were they talking about?
Yeah, it was a whole liberal theology thing going on with that. So I just shut it off.
I did too. I was like, what is going on? It was so corny. Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. So he never said that when he was carrying the cross.
Yeah.
Well, what do you all think about when they showed Satan? He looked just like Barack Obama.
I didn't know what to make of that. I was wondering, why did they do that?
They said they didn't do it on purpose. Well, who knows?
They said they didn't do it on purpose, but it certainly looked like him.
Yeah, it did. It certainly did.
Looking with some bad makeup. That's what it looked like.
Well, it certainly looked like him. We have about 8 minutes left here, and I would like to give a little plug here for eternal life, because the only way we're going to heal the race issue and is to be born again. Number one, to be born again and to receive Jesus into your life and have that born again experience where you become a new creation, because it's not about black pride or white pride or any of that stuff. It's about Jesus pride. And to have pride in the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us. He is the only one that can liberate us. He is the only one that can save us. He's the only one that can meet your financial needs. He's everything. And we have to put our faith and trust in God, because we're coming to a time in history where there's going to be more of this dependence on government, what we can get for government and what they can do for us. And that kind of thinking just doesn't cut it, because whatever the devil gives you, he's going to take it away.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it hurts. It stings twice then, that we realize that we have trusted in the wrong thing. And we took pride in the wrong thing. Brother Jim, I would like you to have a word of prayer, please, for our listeners today, and just to share again your information, where your radio program is being broadcast and how they can listen. And don't forget, Brother Vincent, too, Black by Color Only on Blog Talk Radio. Go ahead.
Black by Color Only. Okay, so let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you again, Lord, for another day. We thank you for an opportunity, Lord God, to open our mouths and praise you and lift you up, God, and honor you today and glorify you, God. And, Father, we just pray for those that are listening right now. Maybe there's someone listening that's on the fence, Lord, don't quite understand what's going on. They don't understand the implications of what's ahead.
that there's an eternal issue ahead, Lord God. Or even those that are lost right now, God, they don't understand that there is a judgment that's going to be poured out on sinners. God, we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would move and that your gospel, Lord God, would be preached in every corner of the world and would reach those, Lord, who you have appointed to salvation, God. And we love you. Thank you for being, for allowing us to be instruments used in your hands. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
So, amen.
Brother Jim, would you tell people how they can catch your radio broadcast?
I am always posting links to my show on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/JL Green. And you can get up to date there. And also you can go to urbantruthnetwork.wordpress.com. So that's how you can get a hold of me. And also I'd like to tell you about Susan, I don't know if you know about this either, but I am starting a broadcast in the first Saturday in May for the East Coast listeners.
All right. All right.
Yeah,
I'll be checking that out.
Yeah,
that's good. That's great. Thank you. Yeah.
9 a.m., which would be noontime, your time.
Okay.
So,
oh, yeah, that's a good time.
Yes. And so also... we have Colorblind Sunday month, which is also in May, of course. And you can find out that information through my Facebook page as well, facebook.com/JL Green. That's the time when you reach out and you go to pick one Sunday in May and go to a church where the congregants, most of the congregants, someone of another race, and just meet one family and meet the pastor. That's pretty much it. My show is broadcast every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And when we start the East Coast show, West Coast listeners are also, welcome to listen. Just know that the starting time is going to be 9 a.m. Pacific, which means noon Eastern.
Yeah. Well, everybody try to catch the program because you will be blessed, and the Urban Truth Network, much great information on there for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he is the healer. He is the reconciler. He can reconcile us and liberate us. He truly liberates us.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I mean, if we want liberation, he's the one. And he is the Prince of Peace. Only Jesus Christ can give you real joy and bring real peace into your life, no matter what you're going through today, no matter what your circumstance is. He can heal you and set you free. Ask him to come into your life today. Tell him you are sorry for your sins, because you are a sinner. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Jesus Christ said you must be born again. First you're born of your mother, and then you're born, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. You can become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. You can be white as snow. You can be washed clean and begin a brand new life. And we've experienced that new life. Amen?
Yes.
We know what it is, Brother Vincent and Brother Jim, we know what it is to have an old life and to be born again and to have those scales fall off and to know the truth and to have the freedom that we have in Christ. There is nothing like it. Nothing, but I want to thank you, Brother Jim, for coming on. Great program, very informative, and I hope the listeners were blessed. And Brother Vincent, thank you for calling in and for being here today. I appreciate you so very much, too. But we pray for racial reconciliation. We want people to love each other, no matter what color they are. To see the heart, to look at people and to see their heart and not their skin color. So God bless, and we'll be talking again soon, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
I really
all right, everybody, thank you
day.
So much for being in the chat room. Thank you, everybody that was here today. And thank you all the callers that called in. Don't forget next week, great program on the book Petrus Romanus with David James. You will be really blessed by that. So God bless you all, and have a great day, okay? Bye.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.